Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. On today's episode, I sit down with BAFTA-winning actor Molly Windsor, and it's a lovely little chat. It's incredible when you look at, when I was doing the research for this episode, that for somebody who's still only 23 to have accomplished such an incredible body of work we touch upon The Unloved and Three Girls, and we don't even get round to talking about incredible recent shows like Tracy's and Cheat. Molly's an absolute delight, which you're about to find out. Also, before we get on with the episode, just a few thank yous. Thank you to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. And if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, then when you finish listening to my chat with Molly, go and explore the back catalogue. If you like, you know, incredible British actors, then listen to my episodes with Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington, Joe Hartley, Michael Smiley. There's stacks. Go and have a rummage in the back catalogue, because I'm sure you'll find some wonderful chats there to get stuck into. And also, if you'd like to support the podcast, there is an option to do that and get even more content as well. And that's done at Patreon, Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/offthebeatentrack, you can sign up for about 71p a week. And what happens is instantly you get access to a few hundred episodes that have never been released to the general public, and you also get access to video episodes each week, radio shows, and just loads more other stuff. But fundamentally, you know, your 71p, you know, all goes in the pot to kind of help with this podcast, which is I keep saying it's a labour of love. It is a labour of love, but it's just so much fun, and it's been something that has been an absolute joy, you know, over the last year or so of this, you know, weird place that, you know, the world finds itself in at the moment. It's been a lovely distraction, and it's kept me connected with some wonderful creative people. And this is one of them. And so it gives me great pleasure to introduce today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Molly Windsor.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom, Molly Windsor. Hello.
Hiya, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited to have this chat today. And thanks for sending over your song choices in advance. I don't know why you kind of have this mental image of like what people are going to be into. It's quite presumptuous, but there's definitely a few on there that I didn't expect. So I'm quite curious to find out where they come from. But ahead of going through your song choices, Molly, I just want to sort of touch upon the last sort of year, really, and ask you how you found it personally and how you found it creatively.
It's been weird, hasn't it? It's just been weird. I think because I'm used to being away, like when you do come home, you make the most of seeing your family, and like home time is always really precious. So to not be able to do those things and to see those people, you kind of, it's just weird. You don't know what to do. And I think the thing that I've struggled most with is all the guilt, because it's like, I'm really close to my grandparents, and my nan's living on her own. And it's sort of the guilt that I'm not going to see her, but then the guilt if I do see her, and it's just a lot of pressure on individuals. But it's nothing you can really do, just hang tight, so...
And what about creatively? Have you had an opportunity to sort of... Did you get to work socially distance? Has there been anything, you know, work-wise in over the last year?
Just little bits and bobs. I did a music video, actually, with a really, really cool artist called Arlo Parks. And that video was a story sort of about friendship and sort of being there for each other. So that was a really beautiful day out where I got to go and get lots of hugs and be friends, and it felt quite normal and quite nice. Because I was a bit nervous about the whole socially distanced thing in terms of work, but we found our feet with it and it was fine, and it was really nice that that's still there.
Wonderful. Molly, let's talk records. And for track one, I'm going to ask you the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
I chose Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Why?
I think it's one of those, because growing up, my parents were really into classic rock music. And it's just all these sort of songs that I just thought everyone my age knew, and they didn't. And I remember doing like an IT, I think it was like a radio show or something we had to make at school. And I was going to do a radio show about like movies and stuff. And you know that scene in 300 where he goes, "This is Sparta." I got that one. And then I got Thunderstruck come in. And then I got all these sort of quotes from different films popping in and out. And it's just like, I just think it's a really great intro and a really great song.
So was you kind of exposed to lots of music? Was there always records on at home growing up?
Yeah, completely. And I mean, there was a guy that, because my brother was always in bands, there was a guy that sort of came to gigs with us, and he was really cool, and he was just sort of a guy called Jeff. And then as I got a bit older and I started listening to what he was talking to my parents about, and I realised that he's the guitar tech for AC/DC and has been for years.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute, you're just the guy with long hair and wears shorts and sort of comes to gigs with us. So I kind of really didn't get the value of it until I got a bit older. But my mum's really into music and she was a big influence on us.
And so so where was this? Where was you born, Molly?
Derby.
Okay. And so was you going to kind of, you said your brother was in band, so what was you doing, the kind of local gig circuit with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's mad when you think about it. They did gigs abroad in like Turkey, and because my mum was sort of facilitating it for them, we all sort of went together. So when I was, 10, 11, I was going off onto gigs, and mum was sneaking me into like bikers clubs and yeah, quite a weird sort of childhood when you look back on it, but it was amazing and it was just sort of what we did and that was our family.
Okay, well, let's talk about the kind of more formative years, because for track two, Molly, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
I chose The Ballad of Richie Lee by Spiritualized. I don't know anything about the band, but the first film that I worked on, The Unloved, that was sort of the end song to it. And I remember seeing it for the first time when I was really young, and really, I couldn't articulate what I felt about the film. I couldn't articulate how I felt about the whole filming process because it had such a big impact on me. And I remember going to see it, and then there's a scene at the end where I'm just sat on a bus and it's kind of like a big reflection moment. And that song's playing, and that song just stayed, it broke me to pieces and I just sobbed. But it's just really stayed with me.
It's a beautiful record. And I recently listened to Samantha Morton on Desert Island Discs, and I did hear via that she's a huge Spiritualized fan. And so that film, am I right in saying, was kind of put together by Samantha?
Yeah, she co-wrote it with Tony Grassoni. It was based on an original idea that she had when she was about 16, and then she directed it. So that was my first sort of experience filming, and she really took me under her wing, and she was definitely steering the ship on that one.
How did you get that part?
I was going to a sort of Saturday drama group, but I'm so lucky that I was there because I hated acting.
Really?
Hated it all, yeah. But then I went to this drama group. It's now called the Talent First Organisation, and they really focused on sort of the psychology and finding the truth in a scene and those moments and making it like real life. And that was really interesting to me. But I hated drama at school. So I was lucky to be part of this group, and then they were having sort of open auditions, and I just kind of went along, and it all went from there, really.
Okay. Well, you've just mentioned school there. So for track three, I'm going to ask you about the song that reminded you of your time at school, please, Molly.
I chose the live version of Pieces Free by Blackstone Cherry.
Okay. I mean, I didn't see that one coming. So explain the kind of love of Blackstone Cherry and where that's come from.
That's really deep-rooted. That's I went to see them. They were supporting a band called Alterbridge. And seeing them live, it just sort of... It was a proper experience that I'd never had. And it was just amazing that... Because I think I looked at music as something that my brother did and something musical people did, and I didn't really have a connection to it. And because my mum was always into rock bands, I appreciated it, but I was never involved in it. And then I went to see Blackstone Cherry, and they played this song, and I remember Chris Robertson, the lead singer, saying, right, okay, I want everyone to hold hands with the people next to you. And you're in this massive arena with all these, like, big hairy guys, and sort of suddenly everyone's in tears, everyone's holding hands, and it is this real group experience. But I just think they're awesome, and I've seen them several times, and it was when I was at school that's when I sort of discovered them. And yeah, I was one of those kids that always had their earphones in lessons, and I was just listening to Blackstone Cherry on repeat.
So could you draw the sort of the comparisons from, like, I mean, you mentioned Alterbridge, which is, I would say, is probably a bit heavier than Blackstone Cherry, but could you, like, Blackstone Cherry, could you kind of see the kind of similarities between that more traditional rock that maybe you was exposed to growing up?
Yeah, I think I wasn't really into, like, I always ended up at those gigs because that's what we were doing. It wasn't, like, a decision. And then they were the first band, like, I'd never really heard anyone play them before at home. And there was just something magic about them, and something about the fact that they're all from Kentucky, and, like, they never shied away from that. But then at the same time, it wasn't like a gimmick. It was just something really sort of truthful. And I just thought they were really cool. And because I'd sort of discovered them for me, and it was me that had the love of them, it became like my thing. Which I think you always have a band like that when you're 14, 15. And I still love them now. They're probably my favourite band.
So just to touch on school for a bit, Molly, like, did you enjoy it?
No.
You didn't?
Not at all, no.
What didn't you like about school?
I liked primary school, but secondary school, it was just... The kids didn't want to be there. The teachers didn't want to be there. There was a couple of good teachers, and I enjoyed their lessons. But apart from that, the teachers didn't like kids.
I mean, that would be quite a helpful thing if they did, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's kind of when you talk to people, they always say, oh, yeah, there was always that one teacher that just didn't. But, yeah, it was just something. And because I'd filmed The Unloved with Sam, I'd found... sort of where my heart was, and school just dragged. It really dragged. And then when I went to college, I loved it, and it was a really different experience, because you got people from different backgrounds and different families, and it was a really social environment, whereas school was just sort of everyone was enjoying it. I don't think anyone really enjoyed it.
You mentioned that earlier that, you know, you wasn't a big fan of acting, you know, when you was younger. Was it kind of getting that role that sort of transformed things and made that something that you decided was a career path that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, completely. I think I was so lucky that was my first job, and that the way that Sam works and the way that The Unloved was, it meant that I've got a really healthy relationship to acting. It's really creative. It's really just kind of pure, and really it was true love sort of thing. And there's other jobs that you do that aren't quite like that. And I think that set the bar, and that was the way that I wanted to work. So that really informed me in the kind of work that I wanted to do. And at the time, I was so young, so I couldn't really articulate it or find my place in the industry. But I knew that was what I wanted. I wanted more time on set, making scenes. And it was great.
Was you confident?
No. You mean on The Unloved?
No, just growing up, was you a confident, you know, child?
Not particularly. I think at school I just sort of disconnected. And I think for me, when I felt uncomfortable, like barriers just come up and I just step back. And I think it's more kind of now that you get more confident with experience. But yeah, not really.
What about drive? Would you say you're driven, Molly? Obviously, in the career path that you've chose, you know, acting is, you know, very competitive, and, you know, there can be lots of knocks and stuff like that. So I just wondered if, you know, you've got a, you know, quite a sort of strong sense of drive.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's more my mum's... I've never met anyone like my mum in the sense that if you want to do something, we're going to do it. She's always encouraged us to sort of dream big and really go for it. And there was none of this sort of like, oh, you want to be an actor? It was none of that. It was like, great, let's do this. And she was really encouraging. And I think that was really helpful as well, because I kind of got this quiet sort of faith that it was just going to happen. And I think Martin Arrowsmith, who was my agent at the time and who worked at the studio that I was part of, he sort of told me a lot about timing and saying just wait for the right project. And I think that really helped me, that it was that sort of quiet drive of we're going to do this.
Well, let's stay in the formative years for track four.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Molly, I'm going to ask you for the first song you remember buying from a record shop.
I remember buying I'm Out of Love by Anastasia.
Still a fan?
No.
That's always the one.
I was trying to think, what was the first one that I bought?
I think like this is that. That's the sort of song choice where when people send their answer, that's the one that like is never necessarily the coolest one. But I quite like the fact that your first record's not always like the coolest track. It's like I think you should start somewhere. You just buy. I think you just buy your first tracks that just sound infectious and sound catchy, and that your friends are listening to and stuff like that.
At the time, you think it's so cool.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, of course. And I mean, what were you? I mean, you said that you was at school with your headphones in, listening to Blackstone Cherry. Was there much of a tribe at school? Was there other people that were into kind of in your kind of sort of circle of friends that were into kind of rock and metal and stuff like that?
No, not at all. It's funny because when I went to college, there was a lad in our year that absolutely loved Blackstone Cherry, and we would sit at the back of the college bus, like playing it through our phones. But at school, it was just me and Blackstone Cherry. There was no one else hanging out with us.
And just for, you know, I'm curious to ask as you know, somebody who sort of broke through as a child actor, like, how did you find, you know, the attention at a young age, you know, from people at school, from friends, from people on the street and stuff like that? How did you deal with that?
I think because the film that we made and I was so young, it was really difficult coming back to school when no one might, it wasn't the sort of film that 11-year-olds would be watching.
Sure.
I remember there was one girl who was really put out by the fact that I'd done it because she was getting A's in drama and I was failing drama. And she was in every play, she got the lead. And then I went off to do this filming thing, and then suddenly I was on TV. And I remember her saying to me at school, "You only got that part because you're a greasy-haired greb." and I was like...
A what? A greasy-haired greb?
You're a greasy-haired greb. You look like a tramp, and that's why you got the job. You're not going to get anything else because that was lucky. Yeah, she was a nasty piece of work.
Greasy-haired greb. You want to put that on the CV? I'm loving that.
It's kind of stuck. I'm the greasy-haired greb that didn't go to drama school.
And so, as obviously, like, your career's kind of gone on, and you know, just, I'm sure over lockdown, so many people have revisited you know, some of the recent dramas that you've done. It was Three Girls that I first saw you in, and I thought you was absolutely incredible in it, Molly. And I just wonder, as these shows have started to go on, and you've become a very recognisable face, how do you sort of deal with that now?
It's just one of those things. It's really nice when people have really connected to a show, or they really love it, or and Three Girls was one that was so important. And so I was working in a cafe at the time when it came out, and suddenly I was having these conversations with grooming, with, you know, middle-aged couples that were in buying scones, and it's really nice that you sort of see your work in the real world of people talking about it, and it affected people. But not every job's going to be like that. There's going to be jobs that some people don't like, and that's fine. I think it's just keeping your priority of wanting to work. And I think the hardest thing is still taking risks, and because I think that's when you're going to do your best work. And if you're focused on what everyone else is thinking, you're never going to take those risks. So, yeah, just day at a time, really.
And I also saw, we touched upon it before we hit record, I just want to ask you about it because I'm incredibly jealous, that you got to work with both Maxine and Johnny Marr. So tell me about that project.
It was just really fun and really cool. Maxine's amazing. And I hadn't met Johnny before, and he's just walking cool. So, yeah, it was really nice just getting to hang out with Johnny in Manchester. And the piece itself was it was written by a homeless man that was in The Big Issue. And it was something he wrote when he was on the streets, and he's now off the streets. And he was on set as well. And just chatting to him, it was just a really cool day, really.
Yeah, very jealous of that one, Molly. Track five, the song that soundtrack. I mean, you're still very young, so I'm sure clubbing's still, you know, something that should be enjoyed. So, but I'm going to ask you to pick a song that soundtracked some of your time clubbing, please.
I chose "Low" by Flo Rida.
Do you still like a bit of clubbing?
Yeah, I think it's just weird to think of real life again and everyone like dancing and sweaty and
it's crazy, Molly. I run a nightclub and it's been shut for over a year, and at first it seemed so strange having like a venue that I'd been at for like 28 years and for there to be like a week when I wasn't there was surreal, and it was like, oh, it'd be back open again next month. Like, let's just get this thing out of the way. You know, a year later, and there's still absolutely no sign of, you know, you say it becomes strange. What initially was strange to imagine it not being there, it now seems strange to envisage 600-700 people sweating in a room together, jumping around. It just seems crazy to even envisage that. And I do feel sorry for, you know, the younger generation. My daughter turned 18 during lockdown and literally was like, let's just, you know, she should be throwing up blue WKD into a gutter, not having a pizza with her mum and dad. It was a real shame. I do think that, you know, especially as well, starting university and things like that, I think it's such a shame that you're not getting to experience all of these things. But yeah, and it does. It just seems like a long way away that people will be able to go and socialise and club. But where was clubbing for you?
Nottingham, really. So where I live is kind of in between Nottingham and Derby. But Nottingham's a great night out because there's so much variety of, you know, you can go for fancy tapas and cocktails and then you end up in Propaganda, and it's good. It's a really good night out in Nottingham.
Where's Propaganda?
It's, you know, the Lace Market. I don't think it's there anymore, actually.
Yeah.
I think it might have shut down, but it was in the Lace Market in Nottingham.
And then Rock City, was that ever on the agenda?
I did a couple of nights at Rock City. I think because it's further out.
Yeah.
You have to sort of go knowing that you're going there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take you home for this one. Also, just popped in my mind, I'm sure Spiritualized are from Nottingham.
Are they?
Yeah. I'm sure Spiritualized are from Nottingham. I will check that. And if listeners are just screaming at their computer now saying, no, they're not. But I'm sure Spiritualized are from Nottingham. I'll check that one. So taking you home, Molly, a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
It's a song called Storms We Ride by Farron. So Farron are actually my brother's band and my boyfriend's band. So it made sense to choose them. And this song, I kind of like, they've recently released like an acoustic version of it, which is really good. But it just feels very appropriate. And I think the vocals in it are amazing. And it just kind of hit home when I listened to it the other day.
And so what does your brother do and what does your boyfriend do in the band?
My brother's the drummer and my boyfriend's the guitarist.
Okay. And what sort of thing can people expect from that band?
They're very... my boyfriend's biggest influence is Alter Bridge. So if you think that kind of vibe, sort of hard rock, I'd say that vibe.
Okay. So for your last track, this is where you get to sort of turn people onto something new, Molly. And I'm going to ask you for a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
I chose Champion by Bishop Briggs. And I never know how much Bishop Briggs is well known. I definitely think she's got bigger, but it is one of my favourite songs by her, and she was someone that I sort of discovered a couple of years ago. And I think this song is one of those that it just needs to be listened to loud. it's one of those really like a pick me up song, and I think everyone should have one of those, like a go to.
Well, I just want to ask you then on that, what you just said then, like a pick me up song. If you're having a low day and you're feeling a bit blue, do you reach for something to kind of lift you out of it, or are you quite comfortable to sort of process them emotions and listen to something, you know, more somber and kind of, you know, immerse yourself in that emotion for a while?
It depends really. I've got playlists for like everything. So sometimes, like, I've got playlists for if I'm going to castings, I've got playlists for like if I'm like parts that I've done, and if I'm like quite nostalgic, I've got ones that I can go straight back to. And my family members find it a bit weird, but I've got like playlists for each of them, so I'll listen to what one of them listens to. Is it depends really. I do quite like some like melodic music and that kind of vibe, but I'm one of those people that's always got to have something on, so whatever it is, it's loud and it's on.
Can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, what you, you know, the process of, you know, you said you've got like sort of playlists for characters and for casting. So is that, do you put yourself in a mind frame of what that character would listen to, or like what's the kind of process for putting together a playlist like that?
I kind of think about like, so like if there's particular scenes that I go, oh, I've experienced that, or there's a song that taps me into that. So then I kind of start with stuff that comes from me, and then slowly I'll build it up with stuff that the character might listen to, or if it's from a certain time period, or if it's a location, then going into that world and kind of making sort of like a three-dimensional playlist of a world for a character. Because I think sometimes you can talk in a rehearsal room till you're blue in the face, and it's just easier just to have that song that just takes your brain there straight away.
Wonderful. Molly, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast with all your song choices and some of the other songs that we've nattered about today. As we find ourselves, we're recording this at the on the 16th of February, as we see sort of 2021 starting to unfold, what would you like to see come from this year personally, and what's coming up?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Professionally.
Personally, I just want to see a bit of sunshine. I'm not having big expectations or any. I went on a walk yesterday and the sun came out for about half an hour and it was so nice.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Like
so long since summer.
We had a day about 5 days ago, and the sun was out, and it was just before we got a lot of snow down here, and I just walking out and feeling the sun on your face. There is something that this lockdown has definitely done, and you know, this whole year I think has. I don't want to come across like a crazy old hippie, but I do think you start to appreciate some of the little things, like you say, sunshine. You know, it was just like feeling the sun on your face was so lovely, right?
I keep like reminiscing, like, oh, in lockdown one when I was bored, but it was warm and I got a tan. And
oh, no.
Lockdown one, I'm fine. I'll be in the garden with a drink in the sun.
Oh, well, hopefully it'll be a pub garden next time the sun shines and there'll be a little bit more freedom. What's coming up professionally, Molly?
I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
Oh, okay.
But I'm hopefully filming something next month. Fingers crossed. So looking forward to getting back to it.
And if people want to keep up to speed on everything you're doing, where's the best place to sort of keep up to speed with all things Molly Windsor?
I'm on Instagram. That's probably my go-to. Okay. Talking about projects and that.
Wonderful. Molly, it's been a real delight talking records with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been good.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. There you go. Molly Windsor. What an absolute delight she was. Yeah, honestly, if you've not seen so many of Molly's pieces of work, then go and check them out. I mean, The Unloved is an incredible piece of film. Three Girls, I'm sure he's on Netflix or Prime at the moment. And that's an incredibly hard-hitting and powerful piece of television. And yeah, Tracy's and Cheap, both incredible things that I've watched, over lockdown, which I'm sure both of them are on either. They're on one of the streaming services, Netflix, Prime, iPlayer. They're on there because I've watched them recently. So yeah, go and get stuck in. And if you get a chance to watch The Runaways as well, incredible film, go and watch that. But thanks ever so much for listening. Thanks loads to Molly again. As mentioned at the beginning, if you like hearing my chats with actors, then go and listen to me talking to Joe Hartley, Amanda Abington, Maxine Peake, Michael Smiley, Thomas Turgoose, Helen Behan. Loads. There's stacks, and that's without touching on the musicians as well. You can hear me talking to Foo Fighters, Tommy Lee and Motley Crue, Fatboy Slim, Chuck D, Public Enemy. There's bundles. Go and have a right old look about, and I'm sure you'll find something that you will enjoy. I've told you all about the Patreon at the beginning, so I won't bore you with that again. But your one-stop shop for everything you need to know about this podcast is www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. Thanks ever so much. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.